Today is week two of a series we're doing called Head Above Water, just talking about the different seasons and times in our life where that's what we feel like because of situations that are going on and things that are happening. We feel like we're barely just making it. We're just barely getting by, okay? And really, we said kind of subtitle is we're just going to be real about our lives. It's going to be a zone, we'll call it, that you can come in on a Sunday morning, be real about what's going on in your life. Frustrated, that's great, right? If you're frustrated, that's fine. If you're down, discouraged, we're just going to be real during the series about things that we go through and things that we deal with in our lives. Based all on Isaiah, this incredible passage where God makes this statement where he says, when you go through deep waters, I will be with you. See, our thinking is, okay, when deep waters come, God's left, and he's like, good luck, manage it yourself. That's not how God works. He says, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. I will be there. I will help you. I will be there for you. And that's so important to remember. Now, there's two things I'm going to kind of drill in that I want us to kind of just remember and then commit to during this series. First one is this. It's okay not to be okay, but it's not okay to stay that way. That's one of the things I just want you to understand. It's okay. You don't have to have all together. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to be perfect. It's okay. It's okay. There are seasons in our life. We all go through these things when we're not okay. It's just not okay to stay that way. We don't want you to stay there. Jesus does not want us to stay there. He has something far better for us. But sometimes we just got knowledge. You know what? I'm not okay. Struggling, having some difficulties, and I'm just not okay. And that's fine. We just don't want you to stay there because we believe God wants to help us through those seasons. And then here's our commitment, right? I refuse to lie to myself. Even the truth makes me feel bad about myself. So we might hit some topics and you're like, oh, okay, that's really not me. And that's only me because of my spouse, okay? If you met my husband, you would know why I'm like this way, right? We don't want to do that, okay? We don't want to lie to ourselves. Even if the truth, even what we're going to discover, we go, wow, I shouldn't think that way, and why do I feel this way? And so even if the truth makes me feel bad about myself, I'm going to refuse to lie to myself. Kind of commitment I want us to make throughout this series. I refuse to lie to myself even when the truth makes me feel bad about myself. So, hard places, last week, right? Hard places do not negate God's love for us. Which I'm certain not all of you remember because it's hard to remember that when there's bats breaking and, you know, rebar getting bent and all sorts of other stuff happening and taking place. You're like, Ed spoke? I don't remember that, okay? He didn't break the bat, so I don't remember anything. So but that's where we kind of ended up. And if you need a refresher, you can always go back and listen to it. The hard places do not negate God's love for us. Sometimes we just think that. Oh, God must not love me, I'm struggling, something's wrong. No, no, no. Hard places don't negate God's love for us. So here's what I want to talk about for the next couple weeks at least. When your head is buried above water, it doesn't take much to pull you under. Right? True? We all can agree on that. When you're just barely getting by, it doesn't take much to just yank you under and just really make things tough and challenging for you. Okay? And so over the next 2 weeks, I want to talk about two of the most common things which pull us under. They're just two very common things. We all deal with them. We've all been there before that have a tendency to pull us under. Okay? And so we're just going to deal with one at a time. So this morning is fear. Fear just has a way of doing that. Fear is a way of lying to us. Fear is a way of getting us to just overreact. To think irrationally, to just really, you know, kind of get off track, to really get pulled under when we're barely getting by. Fear has a wonderful way of doing that. So this morning, I want you to see somebody who had a lot to fear, okay? There was a lot going on and a lot taking place around him, and yet when this letter gets written to him, so it's 2 Timothy, so that's a letter written by Paul to Timothy. When it's written to him, Paul is going to say something about fear that's really important. In fact, if you've been in church a long time, you've probably heard this verse. But maybe you didn't understand how important this verse was in the context of everything that was happening. Now, do that. I always like to make sure you understand. Timothy was in this place. This is Ephesus. If you go there today, this is the theater you could go and see. This was not a tiny town. This was not a little hick town in the middle of nowhere, okay? Ephesus was a major, major city. that Paul came to, led people to Christ, stayed there. In fact, wrote a letter called the Ephesians. It's written to this place called Ephesus. And then he sends Timothy there. And Timothy is there preaching, pastoring, helping people come to know Christ, helping people grow in their faith, because people always need to be led in the growing relationship with Christ. We all need someone to help lead us and guide us into that relationship. And that's what Timothy's doing. Later on, guess who joins Timothy? A guy by the name of John. Maybe you've heard of him. We have a book that's named after him. In fact, a few that are named after John. John joins him, and him and John are there really till the day they die. Timothy dies about 30 years after what we're going to read today was written to him, was declaring that Jesus was Christ. People didn't like that in Ephesus, and so they killed him. Okay. Later on, a few years later, John ends up dying. Okay. So they were there for life, literally. Okay. They were there committed to what God wanted them to do. And so it's here in this town that Timothy's pastoring and dealing with lots of challenges. Lots of different things going on. And so I want you to see those before we hit this verse. Because if we don't see those, we'll sit this verse and go, gee, Paul, that's a nice idea, right? Wow, that's great. What great encouragement. When you kind of can back up and see everything's going on, now you know why he wrote it and why we can take so much encouragement from it today, I believe, about where we're dealing with fear. So here's some of the things that Paul writes, okay? And you can follow on the screen. You can follow along on the YouVersion events page. All the verses are there. But he says some things to Timothy. Timothy, I thank God for you, the God I serve with a clear conscience just as my ancestors did. I thank God for you. He says, night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers, and I long to see you again, for I remember your tears as we parted. Everyone just like stumbled upon that and went, why? Okay? You're going to see why a little bit, okay? Timothy's like, please don't leave me here. You don't understand, okay? Paul, do you know what you're leaving me in, okay? And so when Paul leaves, says Timothy, he just says Timothy was crying because of the place he was at, the place that Ephesus was. And just so you know, this is the last thing we believe Paul ever wrote before Nero had his head chopped off. Okay, this is the last thing he wrote, the last thing that gets carried out to somebody, a letter that he wrote, and so he is writing that, right? He longs to see him again, and he knows he's got a death sentence against him, and he might not make it out of there, but he's encouraging Timothy and talking about what's happening and going on. So never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord, and don't be ashamed of me either, even though I'm in prison for him. So sometimes what Timothy was dealing with was the guy who helped him out the most, the guy who just was there for him, okay? So when everything fell apart and you have that person you text, okay, you call, you want to have coffee with because they're going to help pick you up, okay? Timothy didn't do that. Why? His guy's in prison in Rome, okay, way before cell phones or anything else, okay? So this is the only thing he got to kind of encourage him, to keep him going in what he is doing. So that's where Timothy's at. The guy who's going to help him out the most, the guy who's going to be there for him, he's not even around. So just kind of consider where he's at. As you know, everyone from the province of Asia, which is where Ephesus is, has deserted me. Even, and if you wonder, why is he going to name names today? Because Timothy knows these individuals. They've done it to Timothy too. Philetus and Hermogenes, okay? They've also done it. Okay, he's just naming names. Remember those guys, Timothy? Oh, why did you bring up those guys? Okay, they were terrible. We thought they were going to follow Jesus, and then he just gave up and deserted me, and it was bad. Okay, that's what he's dealing with. That's dealing with people leaving. He's dealing with people running out. He's dealing with people deserting their faith. Probably one of the hardest things for pastors to deal with is people deserting their faith. Because they're like, what happened? What happened? You were following, you were moving down this path, and then you hear they just gave up, right? Whether they went to college and then decided everything wasn't true. Hard place to be. That's where Timothy is. People deserting the faith and, right? My goodness, this is just difficult, okay? Endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. So he's suffering, Okay? Paul is suffering. Timothy is suffering where he's at. And so he's encouraging him. Hey, hang in there. I know it's tough. I know it's difficult. But then do that. And do that as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Hang in there. Fight the good fight. Right? Remind everyone about these things that I have commanded them in God's presence. To stop fighting over words. Such arguments are useless. And they can't. And they can ruin those who hear them. You know what else he's got going on? He's got people squabbling in his church, right? Well, this is great, okay? My best friend's in prison, okay? I didn't want him to leave because he has no idea how bad this place is and how bad we struggle, okay? These two guys, they gave up on the faith, okay? And now I got this big squabble over nothing, okay? And they had squabbles over nothing, just like most churches at times will struggle and we'll have fights over things that really don't matter. We just do. It's what happens, okay? Because we divide over things at times that really don't matter, that don't make any sense. We just do that. So now he's got that going on. Just kind of add these layers up if you can, okay? Why Paul is writing to him and encouraging him. He says, yeah, I know, okay? But remind everybody about these things. Command them. Just say, come on, guys, come on. There's something bigger going on here. Jesus is doing something greater in life. I know you think we got this big argument over circumcision. Stop, okay? I know we got this big argument over the Sabbath. Stop, okay? That's what Paul's going to encourage him to do, okay? This kind of talk spreads like cancer, as in the case of Hymenaeus and Philetus, okay? They've left the path of truth. We got two other guys, right? What did they do, okay? They're like, right? He says this kind of talk is just like cancer. Okay? It's destructive. It ruins and touches everything. And he goes, remember those two guys, right? Right? They've left the path of truth. I don't know what they're doing now. I don't know what they're speaking, but they just left. Okay? Just kind of add up these layers. Because this is what he's dealing with, and this is what he is going through. And I just want you to know, Timothy was in deep. He gave you a lot more examples. And normally we don't read the letter like that. We read it like, oh, okay, what's in it that I'm supposed to know, right? Rarely do we just read it through that this is the letter that Paul is writing to somebody that he saw come to know Jesus, that he encouraged in the faith, that he left in Ephesus to pastor, and, you know, Paul knows some of the things that are going on, and he's trying to encourage Timothy because Timothy is in deep. Maybe Timothy is going, why did I come here? Why am I here? Why am I doing this? Okay, why am I part of this? I wonder if Timothy's asking those questions, because I think we can all, if we'd sit around, we'd probably agree to these things about fear that just put us in so deep. That when we're in deep, fear can easily pull us under. That's what happens, right? When we're in deep, fear has a very easy way of pulling us under. And that's what happens to us. So a couple things I want us to think about. That fear causes us to think irrationally and unrealistically about our situation. Isn't it true? It's just over, right? Whatever it is, it's over. You're waiting for a phone call for the doctor to tell you it's over, okay? It's over. It's terrible. I have an incurable disease, right? You have Ebola, whatever it is, right? Come on. We've all been there where we're waiting for a result, a test, and we just know it's bad. Because that's what fear does. It gets us to think irrationally and unrealistically. That's why, can I tell you what helps? What helps is telling somebody else so they can look at you and go, honey, I think you're crazy, okay? Maybe your spouse does that. It might have been, you know, poor Jill, okay? She's good. In fact, I won't tell you the situation, but I will tell you right now, she has told me something, and because I'm like, oh, I don't think my wife is right, I told a very good friend the same thing, and he's like, are you crazy? What's wrong with you? Okay? So I have two people telling me that. And do I go, okay, they must be right? No. I'm going to prove them wrong. Okay? I'm going to prove them wrong. They're going to be proved wrong. When that day comes, I'm telling them to get both of them together and say, I told you so. Okay? That's what happens. We think very irrationally and unrealistically about our situation. It happens all the time. And let me tell you, there are plenty of factors in our world that just help us to do this, right? That help us to do this, okay? Just watch the news. What will it play on? Your fears. And you will think irrationally and unrealistically about situations. It happens all the time, right? That's the type of world we live in. And there's lots of examples we could use and we could talk about, but it happens all the time. And it just causes us to think very irrationally and unrealistically about our situation. So I have a friend who lives in Melbourne, Florida. He pastors a church down there. And so this week, they had a situation. Our school has had it before where there's a lockdown at school. Okay? And I'm telling you what, and I don't know if it's because it was Florida and it was close to other situations. You should have seen his wall on Facebook. Okay. How many kids were killed in the shooting? Okay. He didn't say there was a shooting. There was a lockdown, right? And everybody had just gone totally irrationally and unrealistically about it because that's the world we live in, right? Every lockdown is bad. Every lockdown means there's a shooter, right? How many things have happened? How many things have taken place? That's what we think. So it is very easy to assume that's what happens. And fear, can I just tell you, oh, it loves to play into that. It loves to play into that. That irrational, unrealistic thinking about our situation. Sometimes it's, oh, nobody else knows. Nobody else can know what it's like. No, somebody else does. Right? Maybe it's just, oh, it'll never get any better. No, it probably will. But then fear just has a way to do that. And if we're not careful, it will do that all the time in our lives if left unchecked. The other thing fear does, it magnifies negativity. You ever notice that? It just magnifies it, okay? Like, you don't get a lot of positive, everything's going to work out where there's a lot of fear, okay? It just doesn't happen, okay? It's all doomsday, it's over, it's terrible, the world is ending, right? It just magnifies negativity. It's what fear does in our lives. That if we let it have a seat at the table, if it's just left to go unchecked, it easily can pull us under because it's just going to magnify negativity. Everything's wrong. Everything's ruined. Everything's awful. Everything's terrible. Nothing's working out right. Ever said those things? Or am I doing one? We ever been there? Because fear has a place to do that. So into this place that magnifies negativity, that gets us to think irrational. Timothy's in this town called Ephesus, this huge city, trying to pastor, trying to be. People are leaving, people are squabbling, right? His best friend is gone, can't talk to him, right? He's dealing with all this stuff. Paul's going to write to him something that's really powerful that maybe you never considered in that context before. Something that I think probably many of you who've been in church a long time, you've read this verse, but didn't know how impactful it is for you and I to understand this, okay? It's right at the beginning, seven verses in, as we have calculated verses, seven in, he makes this statement to Timothy. Timothy, God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. Yeah, I know I got to write about all sorts of things. I know people are squabbling. I know people love the truth. I know people have done all these sorts of things. Timothy, God has not given us a spirit of fear. You know what he's saying to Timothy? I know. You're fearful of a lot of things. Everybody's leaving. Everybody's left. It's all over. It's all terrible. Everybody deserted me. That's not from God. That's really what he's telling Timothy. Timothy, I know. Lots of fear, right? Fear doesn't come from God. The reason the word spirit there, and sometimes translators catch this, okay? And if you ever run across, it should be capitalized. Because it's talking about the Holy Spirit. That when we welcome Jesus as our Savior and find forgiveness of our sins, that God takes up residence in our life. That is the Holy Spirit. And he's saying, do you understand, Timothy, that when the Holy Spirit came in and took up residence of your life, he doesn't play the fear game. Okay? That's not from him. That's not how he operates. That's not what he's going to do for your life is give you a bunch of fear. That's not him. And I need you to know that, Timothy, that's not him. What is him is power, love, and self-discipline. So, can we just agree, that's not from God. So what is from God to help us when we're about here, when we're barely getting by, when we're concerned about what's happening and taking place in our life? The first one is power. Simply, the strength I need to move forward in the midst of what's going on. The word power is the Greek word dunamis, where we ultimately got the word dynamite from, okay? Think that's powerful, don't you? I don't know, you know, it brings down buildings, it does all sorts of things. Dynamite does. That's where they got the word from, because the script, this is what Paul's saying, Timothy, the spirit that lives in you that is from our Heavenly Father is powerful. That means if you will lean into Him, He will give you all the strength you need to move forward in the midst of what's going on. I know fear is a way of paralyzing us, and it gets you to think all sorts of things. Timothy, you need some strength. You're not going to find that in yourself. You're not. So stop looking for it. The Holy Spirit's going to give that to you, and He is going to give you the strength to move forward. And I think Timothy did that. Do you know why? Because 30 years later, he's still in Ephesus. He's still proclaiming the truth until the day they took his life for proclaiming who Jesus was. Obviously, he got strength from somewhere, because this guy's ready to quit. He's ready to leave. He's ready to be done. I'm sure Paul's death just did wonders for him, right? Oh, this is great, right? It's just going more downhill. Okay, when he heard and got that news. But somehow Paul's like, Timothy, come on, come on. If you will rely and lean into the Holy Spirit, you will find the strength you need to move forward. One of my favorite people to listen to now is Lisa Turkhurst. And I don't know if you know her story. Her story is really powerful. Her story is one that the ending where her story is right now is not where most people go. Okay? Because she discovered her husband was committing adultery. That normally ends most marriages, probably 9.9 times out of 10. And it did not end hers. Okay? And if you've ever heard her talk, this is her story. Okay? Because she's like, I'm going out, I'm done, right? I'm done. She leans into the Holy Spirit to find the strength she needs to move forward. Okay? And so if you just read her story and you're like, wow, how did she do that? Okay? You know, what did she listen to every day that got her pumped up and ready to go for the... No, no, no. She leaned into a strength that wasn't her own and found it to move forward. Most of us don't do that. Most of us, we're going to use every ounce of strength that we have to get it done on our own power. And then when everything fails and flops, we might come to God and say, okay, I'm really done. God says, why are you doing that? Stop. Lean into me and find all the strength you need to move forward in the midst of what is going on in your life. The second one, love. I wonder why is he talking about love? Timothy could have said, Paul, I don't think this belongs here. I don't know what you're talking about, but why is this here? Okay? Because when he used the word love, he used the word over and over again that we've talked about in Scripture. It's the word agape, which simply means unmerited and unconditional from God, which pushes out fear. John, who is in Ephesus, you can read this later, but in 1 John chapter 4, do you know what the John in Ephesus with Timothy writes? Perfect love casts out all fear. Why? Because it's unmerited and unconditional. The one thing you'd be certain of is God's not walking out on you. Want to be certain of that? That is why most of the love you and I experience in our life is conditional, right? It is good up to a point, and then you cross this line, I'm out. That's not God. You can't cross a line. Can't do it. Can't cross a line that He does not give you His unmerited and unconditional love. Can't earn it. Don't deserve it. No conditions allowed. Okay? So if you ever think that you are not loved, you have not understood what God has said. Yeah, but you know what I did? Doesn't matter what you did. It's unmerited and unconditional. This is how God operates. That type of love pushes out all fear because there's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing, oh, God's not going to love me anymore. No. That pushes out that fear of not being accepted and not being welcomed by our Heavenly Father. It pushes it out. It's why it's so necessary in our relationships. Parents, it's so necessary that you find this love that God has for you and you give it to your kids. This is the way you parent. Why? Because they're going to do lots of things. They're going to make you not want to love them anymore. Okay? Lots of things. But an unmerited, unconditional love that God gives us and we are able to give to one another. We're able to give that to our kids. We're able to give that to our spouse. So don't worry, oh, she ever knew. It'd be over. It'd be fine on the papers. It'd be fine on the papers. It'd be over. Because so much of our love is merited, it's conditional, based on what are you going to do for me. God doesn't operate that way. He asks us to do that for each other. And then there's this third one in there, which I'm just going to tell you, it's there's sometimes there's places when you're going from a language it was written in, the language of Greek, and you're trying to go into English, okay? There's sometimes it works well, and there's sometimes it doesn't work well at all. This is one of those places it doesn't work out well, okay? Some of your translations will say self-discipline, the one we have up here today, the one I use, New Living Translation. Some will say sound mind. Anybody know what that is? I mean, right? Because this is what Paul did. He took two words that never go together and pushed them together. And so when you do that, you create something else. And so you can't just translate one word and the other and stick them together because they're two concepts that are pushed together to form one. Okay? So what I need to give you is a sentence. I can't give you two words because this is a big idea that he gives us. This is why he's saying, Timothy, do you know what the Holy Spirit's going to give you? Power to move forward. Love to understand what God has done for you so you can give that type of love away. And self-discipline, sound mind. This is what Timothy would have heard when he read that. This is the concept. And I know it's pretty long, but just grab it with me for a moment. That he has given you a mind that has been delivered, rescued, revived, salvaged, protected, and brought into a place of safety and security so it's no longer affected by illogical, unfounded, and absurd thoughts. What did we just say fear did? Illogical, unfounded, absurd. Those are all things that fear does. And do you know what he's writing to Timothy is the Holy Spirit, if we'd lean into the Holy Spirit and we'd ask the Holy Spirit for help to process what is going on, that he will give us a mind. He will give us a thought process that has been delivered, rescued, revived, salvaged, and protected. All things we need. And brought to a place where we aren't affected by illogical, unfounded, and absurd thoughts. I don't know about you, I'm reading that going, I need that place, right? I need that place. Because under my own power, I go to stupid places that I think silly things that just aren't true. If I go there in the Holy Spirit, I'm going to think far differently about what is happening in my life. And so I don't think it's any mistake that he's writing this to Timothy. Timothy, I know what you need. You need to be given a mind that's been delivered, rescued, and salvaged. Because not, it's just going to be negative, right? And it's just not affected by those things anymore. That you can lean into the Holy Spirit and you can get some wisdom and discernment to look at what is happening in your life and to know how to respond. To know what just needs to go, what needs to get thrown out, because you're just thinking illogically and unfounded. Fear is speaking loud. And come to a place where you can actually think differently because of what God has done for us. I love this statement. I use it quite often. But it pops up in a few songs that Casting Crowns does because Mark Hall wrote this statement. I can't live by how I feel, but by the truth your word reveals. That's why I tell you to get God's word in your life all the time. Why? Because that's the primary way the Holy Spirit's going to speak and tell you, remember what's going on? Yeah. Why are you trying to do that on your own? You worn out? Yeah, you're worn out. Yeah, you about had it? Yeah, you about had it. Why are you doing that on your own? You don't have to do that on your own. Why do you feel unloved? Why do you feel unloved? I don't think it's any mistake that Lauren Daigle writes this song, You Say, and it becomes huge. Why? Well, all that stuff's in the Bible. We're just like, wow, isn't that amazing? I've never heard that before. And that's all she did. And she's probably like, really? It's actually in this book. I actually stole it, right? And it's now, huge, right? Because it's there. But we just don't live that way, right? I choose so often to live on how I feel instead of this. And if I keep making that choice to live on how I feel, fear has a wonderful opportunity just to mess with my life all the time. But if I can find a way to live by this and let the Holy Spirit speak into it, I found the power I need, the love I desperately need, and the minds to actually think through realistically and spiritually what is happening in my life. So let me stand with this. Strength, love, a secure mind are what God gives for us to live our lives. So we don't have to live by fear. You have to let its voice continue to echo in your head. You don't have to. I know we do. We don't have to. Because we've been given something else in Jesus. Because he has done everything for us. And then on top of that, gives us the Holy Spirit to help us with the strength and the love and the secure mind to deal with whatever it is we're dealing with, especially when our head is barely above water. So let me pray for us today that God would just help us, whatever we're facing, to throw fear out and think about things differently. Dear Heavenly Father, I would just pray for all of us this morning. Fear is so powerful, and it speaks so loud, and it takes up a lot of space in our minds. And so we just start thinking things that just aren't true, aren't real. Sometimes they become so real, they paralyze us from moving forward. That is not what you intend for us. But unfortunately, it's what happens so often. So this morning, Father, we want to declare it's okay not to be okay. It's okay if we walked in here this morning and fear has just been having its way this week in our life. We don't have to stay that way. We can lean into something, someone, that will help us and give us the strength we need to move forward. Because, Father, that is just needed by all of us. The love we need to know, it doesn't matter. You love us. And the secure minds to deal with a broken, fallen, messed up world. And to think wisdom and discerning in the midst of it. So would you give that to us today? We don't want to stay where we're at. We don't want to stay with fear owning us and controlling us and being in charge. Would you help us to lean into your spirit, to find a way to get your word into our life daily so that we can live by the truth your word gives us, not just by what we feel. Help us, empower us.